2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes!
Yes! The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's Unrivaled. It's a Monday. What a friggin' weekend of football, and other things that also went on. Scott Mitchell to my right. Welcome to the new week, Scott.
Hey, everybody.
What'd you do over the weekend, dude?
Let's see. What did I do? Okay, I made a trip to Evanston.
Oh, you did?
Should we be talking about this? Well, I did.
I love it.
We did the football game on Saturday.
Jeremy just made a joke in our ear. It's not a joke. He goes, what, did you go get fireworks or something?
Well, there's three things apparently you go to Evanston for. Fireworks.
And?
Gambling.
Is there? Do they
have
the old
horse races?
Oh, do they have those? Do they have that? Okay. What else?
Wyoming Downs.
And then?
Like you didn't know. I'm not sure about the
third one.
Booze?
Probably booze, but the third one you don't want to ask about. Bottom line is you went and got some fireworks though, right?
Well, I was going to see which one you could guess.
I know what kind of guy you are. You're ready for a good time, and so fireworks is it, man. Well, good for you. They sell them year round, though, don't they?
Well, here's the thing. If you go, I was the only person in the store. They go, hey, it's your lucky day today. I said, why is that? And he said, half off.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because it's not a holiday.
It's half off every day. Half off, double the price of what they had.
Well, of course. Yeah.
It's no good.
They're overinflated.
Why on earth do you need fireworks?
Well, my daughter's getting married.
You don't just do fireworks for a wedding.
Well, you don't just do them. You do them when they leave.
Okay.
So it's the exit.
They
have to have a grand exit.
Now, I'm going to be at this situation. Scott's daughter's getting married. And I'm there for two things. Food and fireworks. Boom.
Well, apparently, I keep getting asked to do things. I got to give a speech.
Oh, man.
And I have to dance.
No, you don't.
I have to dance.
Oh, with your daughter, though.
Well, yeah.
Oh, good for you.
That's how I'm dancing.
Scott, good for you. Anything else you do this weekend?
You want to know what song I got to dance to?
It's probably like
Billy Idol, White Wedding.
Hold on a minute. That's not like a...
That's our dance.
That's not like a slow dance. You need to have like a slow dance.
Well, there's an unplugged version.
No, there isn't. Is there really?
Yeah, okay. There's a couple of unplugged.
You guys do share the love of...
I think they're actually better.
You guys do share the love of Billy Idol.
Well, hello, yes.
Yeah.
It's 80s music. Come on.
Good for you guys. All right, so here's what we got going on here. We have... That wasn't the thing I was aiming at, because I knew you called a Utah game this weekend, and you went straight to the fireworks? Yeah, fireworks, man. I went to Evanston. That's the thing you did this weekend?
Okay, Alex.
But
when your daughter gets married, it's slightly on your mind. Just saying.
Okay,
just
so you have to. So that's the kind of love you have. Drive to Evanston for fireworks on a weekend.
That's what you do.
All right. We're going to kick things off as we always do. The show is brought to you by G2G Bars. Guess how I got through a Saturday here at the station? Two G2G Bars over the 6 hours that I was here hanging out.
You know, you can find G2G Bars in your local grocery stores.
Where at?
Harmon's. Associated Foods. Maverick,
got it.
And Holiday Oil.
There you go.
Just so you know.
All right. Tons of protein. They taste fantastic. You don't have to choke down a protein bar you don't like. G2G, local company. They sponsor the program. Also, we're going to jump right in here. Let's talk first. Let's go full positive here. Let's jump into the cut and start off with Utah's win over San Diego State. Scott's going to break it down for us. We have a code here. We don't talk about the two games that we both covered until we get on the air, and so that's what we're doing right here with the cut. Let's jump in.
There we go. The other question. Undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut presented by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utes all trust. Visit uofuhealth.org for more information. uofuhealth.org. Our lives have significantly improved since we have the big screen TV in the studio here playing actual sports, right?
We don't ever want to leave the studio.
Well, part of it is I can't, half the time I can't get Scott to pay attention to what I'm talking about. He's like, did you just see Josh Allen throw that ball? I'm like, okay, I saw it. Did I see Cooper Rush beat the Bengals? Yes. There you go.
I even surprised Jerry Jones.
I surprised Cooper Rush, to be quite honest. So we have to jump in here with this Utah win over San Diego State. Very first thing right off the bat is a non-covering the game version of it. I just watched it at home, and my son and I watched this thing together. And we kind of, you know, I asked him, I said, what do you notice? What do you notice in this game? And he's like, I notice it probably should have been 56-0. Not that they should have scored more points, but it felt like an even bigger blowout than it actually was. Utah controlled that game more than I've seen. That was very much so along the same lines of the performance. They picked up exactly where they left off with Southern Utah. The defense is beyond stingy right now. There's a lot of pride, I think, that they've taken. And that's one of the things we want to ask Devin Cafusi today. He's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour, of course, for our weekly conversation on the Players Club. But that defense, they got absolutely laid into by their coaching staff after the Florida loss. And so my immediate reaction was, this defense played a heck of a football game, Scott. And I know the offense did well and they scored points and everything, but I thought the defense was more impressive.
I think the thing that probably stood out to me the most was they literally broke the will of San Diego State. Like they stopped fighting, they stopped competing. It got boring. Like last week, it was really fun when the second string guys got in and played well, and Jaquindon Jackson, and seeing Jalen Glover and seeing some of these guys on defense get some reps, and so from that regard, it really did because San Diego State was going. They're on their third quarterback. They're like, we surrender. And of course, it was just the way that Utah played in the game, and it really did. It got boring. I mean, I hate to say it, because you get to a point, you go, okay, I really just want to get on to conference play. I really want to. I want to get on to, let's get this thing started. And the reason, you see wherever Utah is, and everyone thought very highly of them going into the season, and then boom, they lose a game, and they're out. They're out of the top 10. And they've won, and everyone in front of them has lost, and they 2 weeks in a row, and they've hardly moved in the polls. And I think.
Do you think that's a slight, or you just think it's a function of that first loss is kind of haunting them still, and it's haunting the voters, and it's definitely causing people to go, well, we can't put an undefeated Tennessee team behind a 2-1 Utah, or something along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, everybody in front of them right now does not have a loss, and that's going to change. It's going to change. I mean, most of the teams, I mean, there's 5 or 6 SEC schools, and they can't all go undefeated, right, because they play each other. You just have some other teams. So I'm not worried about where Utah is in the polls or whatever. I'm not upset by it. I just think that this team is massively underrated at this point. You saw these power ratings that came out about the teams in the West, and I think BYU was 1 or 2, and
yeah.
And then of course it was USC and Utah was up there, but they really weren't.
Yeah, 3 or 4, something like that along those lines.
I've been trying to figure out, because they have some inexperienced guys, but what you've seen is guys woke up, got comfortable with what was going on. And they had ability, you know, that you just see some of these young guys. I mean, I saw it a year ago where they were making mistakes. They, you know, just inexperienced. You could just see it happening. And every week they just got better, and they kept getting better, and they kept getting better. And they made a leap from week one to week two that was just eye-opening. But then they really, really actually significantly improved to this week against a better opponent. You know, like if this team was an okay team, they might struggle. It might be a game against San Diego State. It was never a game. Like, this was never a game. And San Diego State's a pretty good team, and they're well coached, and they have athletes. Utah is, I just think they're massively underrated, and I'm just excited to get to the season to see how good they really are. I cannot wait. Cannot wait to get to USC.
Yeah, and I think that, well, and the and you
cannot
look at the
wait
rest,
for that game.
It, you look at the rest of the schedule, it actually is, I'm not going to say it's a murder's row, because I still don't know how good or not good. You know, UCLA is a massive question mark in my head.
They almost lost.
They almost lost to
South Alabama.
Was it South Alabama? Well, the Jaguars are tough.
I mean, they should have lost.
So
here's
the Rose Bowl, too.
Here's the challenge with that, mm-hmm. and it's a real challenge, okay? When you get – and I saw this with Utah a few years ago. I think it was the first or second time they went to the Pac-12 championship. It's when they – their first game out of the gates in conference play was against USC mm-hmm. at USC.
Right.
And they had played a similar schedule to UCLA. And they were not ready for the speed. They had not played in game situations with opponents that were massively athletic. And you could just see they were behind. I mean, Julian Blackman, he was so out of place because he had made the transition from corner to safety. And he was just out of place. Like, he did not look good.
Right.
And then after that, it was very similar to going, Julian Blackman looked like Utah looked against Florida when he played USC that year. And then I was like, oh boy, they're in trouble. And then he just played lights out. I mean, he was so good.
Yeah, but so
I don't like what I like about Utah's schedule. In the non-conferences, they played a tough one out of the gate. And you know what it did? It was a massive wake-up call. Like, it may be the best thing that's happened to Utah or will happen to them all season long, because it shook them to their core. It shook the rafters. And you know, I'm telling you, these players got a massive wake-up call. And they're like, if you don't show up every week, you're going to get it handed to you. I think the Pac-12 is much better this year. But I still think Utah is a team to reckon with. I don't think that, you know, the rankings or anything indicate. I think Utah's as good as anyone. And you know what they have? They have USC at home. And that may be the best part about their whole entire schedule this year.
I wonder if the other thing that happens is that it's a little bit nerve-wracking for you or for people who are playing Utah, I think, the rest of the year. Because now – everything is Utah feels like they're playing from behind, so they don't just want to beat you. They want to embarrass you. And I think there are going to be games like this weekend coming up with the Arizona State down in Tempe, a team without their head coach, now with an interim head coach, which is another issue that we'll talk about a little bit later. But you talk about this Pac-12, the Pac-12 this weekend had a tremendous weekend. They have just been – and part of it, I think, includes the fact that they got rid of Herm Edwards. The only way to move forward with that program is break it down. You got to throw all of that on top of the garbage heap, because Herm Edwards made a mess of that place. He ruined it for probably the next 5 to 8 years. But the best thing that could have happened for that program is that they fired Herm Edwards over this weekend. So the Pac-12,
everything you're going to deal with during a week, you know, because yeah, we're going to talk about the Pac-12 later on.
Yeah.
There's always going to be something that's going to happen. There's going to be news of the week that's going to happen that can impact the game. So this Utah team goes, okay, we're going to Arizona. We're going to play a team. Just their head coach got fired, and the immediate assumption is what you're saying. Oh well, we'll kill them. Like they're in dishambles. They're in all of all of these things. But that to me becomes scary, and it becomes scary because. You know, you get these teams. I mean, look at Washington State a year ago. They really rallied around the guy who ended up being their coach this year.
Right.
And it's continued. Right. And
Dickard
so
has got a great situation going on there.
So you don't want to, you know, and maybe the first week of of a new coach is a disaster, and maybe it takes a little while for things to kind of get settled. But you got to go into the game and not let these distractions, whatever they are, because it appears to be a good news for Utah, right? And regardless, you just got to go play and prepare as if you're going to get the best version of Arizona State.
Excuse me. Yeah, I just think I look across the league and I look across what all these other teams did. What about on the offensive side of things for Utah?
You want to hear a crazy stat?
Oh, yeah.
This is a crazy stat. Okay, in the first quarter of every game this year, so the first three games, Utah scored 10 points.
So scored 10 points.
Total in the first three games, 10 points.
Oh, okay.
Second and third quarter?
148.
120 points.
Oh, I wasn't that far off.
120 points.
Yeah, that's a So the slow start.
For whatever reason, they have been a slow starter. And you watch the games, and it's not like they're not focused. We saw this a year ago. And Kyle Whittingham, what he did is he goes, if I win the toss, I'm taking the ball. So Utah would win the toss, and they take the football. Everyone defers, right?
Right, yeah. But he's like, we're going to go down, we're going
to
score.
For some reason, it just helped his team to kind of get into a flow. I think Utah's defense has shored itself up enough that they could handle things a little bit now. A year ago, early on, for whatever reason, it just seemed to get the team going. And there's something, because you're gonna get into a game, and I'm going to go to USC, you're going to have to score. Yeah, I mean, you're just going to have to score points. You're going to have to open it up, and you may get into a shootout against USC. But either way, you've got to be on all cylinders. And I was a little bit surprised by that. But then if I look back, it's just this team just, I don't know, too much hanging out at the hotel, something before the game, because it's just taken a bit of time for them to get going.
Well, I think that Utah's win on Saturday, when they're up 35-0, I remember just thinking, it doesn't even feel that close, and it isn't that close. Utah dominated that thing top to bottom. Certainly a different a different situation from when they played San Diego State last year. And I think that this team, when you look at it, think about where they were a year ago. They were 1-2. They were out of the top 25, right? I mean, they were on the outside looking in for a hot minute, and then it took them a while to start really getting things going. And I think that they've probably gotten it going a little bit earlier than usual, because the shock of or the sting of a loss like they had at Florida, it was kind of interesting because they lost an emotional game at BYU last year.
Yes.
But this Florida game felt like it was an absolute gut punch. There was so much on the line on this game, and to not have it go your way. Now the rest of the time, they're just trying to make up for it. And so I think that's a huge advantage. It was a massive disadvantage when it happened. The loss kicked you right in the gut, and then you go, well, I mean, the overreaction was, I guess this Utah team is just going to disappoint us again. Oh, I guess nothing's going to happen. No, nothing's good going to come of this. But I'm telling you, the advantage that they have of being in a conference, and even have the conference performing like it is, it's a huge deal for them. Because now the teams that Utah is going to start playing and hopefully mowing down, your Oregon States, your Washington States, your USCs, those are going to be ranked teams when they play them all. That's what's going to happen. They're going to play USC. It's going to be a game day quality game that ESPN should absolutely pick up, right?
Oh, or there's not even going to be any question.
I hope so, right?
Yeah.
You say it's going to be it's not even a question?
No.
It's going to happen?
Heck yes. Are you kidding me?
The only reason
college
I say
game
it,
day
it should.
Is coming to Salt Lake City
it should.
In the middle of October.
It should. But we all know what happens. They pick weird freaking games.
No. Not
and sometimes
that.
It doesn't
not that one.
What week is that?
That game is
why not Notre Dame BYU that's a different week. That's a different week.
No. Yeah. It's the 15th of October.
Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out who BYU's playing that week. Maybe that could be – oh, there you go, Arkansas-BYU. Hey, now, hold on. Because if Arkansas starts rolling, BYU wins a couple of these games –
and won their game, they'd be a hot topic.
But they're 19. So give it 4 weeks, and if they win 3 or 4 of these next games, including Notre Dame,
from a national perspective, it's BYU just has they have to
do so much more. They have to really do so much more. Yeah. Well, we'll get to BYU in just a moment. In fact, we'll do it in the next segment here. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Utah wins, of course, 35-7. It was a dominant performance at 5 o'clock today. The usual Players Club appearance by Devin Kaufusi, who I was texting with over the weekend, Scott, and I said, hey, awesome to see you guys out there in the field. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'm kind of out of the doghouse. And we're like, what? I said, what, you were in the doghouse? He goes, oh, dude, after Florida, you have no idea. I was like the king, hold me up, show my video on how badly I did on some plays. I go, Devin. He's like, no, I got through it. I've had a bet. It made me better. So there you go. We'll get Devin's thoughts on the game on Saturday, see how he's preparing for an Arizona State team that is now with an interim head coach with the firing of Herm Edwards over the weekend. Stay with us. More to go right around the corner, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.